The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
When you're reading the Bible, you need to pay attention to these kind of contexts so you don't take a verse out of context. You need to ask yourself, what kind of salvation is being spoken of here? There's more than one kind. It's not all going to heaven when you die. A lot of it is just salvation of your physical life from physical dangers. And you need to ask yourself, likewise, what kind of perishing is here?
There are 92 uses of the word lost or perish in the New Testament. How many of those do you think refer to eternal lostness, or what Christian evangelists usually mean by the word lost? Stay tuned. You may be surprised. So very good to have you with us. My name is Lucas Kitchen, and this is Grace in Focus. You can find out more about Grace in Focus and the Grace Evangelical Society at faithalone.org. I'll repeat the address at the end of today's broadcast. But right now, let's jump right into our discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, today we're going to talk about one of the most misunderstood words in the Bible. It's actually two words, lost and perish. They both translate the same Greek word, apolemi. But we're going to talk about lost and perish. And one of the things that I find when people read the Bible is that they over-spiritualize it. They think every single use of salvation means salvation from hell and going to heaven. And sometimes they think, likewise, every single use of the word lost or perish means you're going to go to hell when you die. I mean, as a good Baptist, we always talk about lost people, and we usually mean that this person is going to hell when they die. But that is not necessarily how the Bible uses that term, is it, Bob?
That's exactly right. In fact, using the term lost or perish, referring to those who lack everlasting life, those who are going to be eternally condemned, is an extremely small number of uses in the New Testament. The vast majority of uses, perishing typically refers to physical death. It often refers to some sort of temporary loss or temporary destruction. Also, lost often refers to people who have simply lost their way, whether they're believers or unbelievers. It's relatively rare when perish or lost refer to people who are unregenerate.
So the reason why this is important is because we all want to understand the Bible better. We don't want to misinterpret it. And this is just one of the easy ways that people misinterpret the Bible.
Right, exactly. In fact, in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, I go through the 92 New Testament uses, and by my count, only six refer to eternal condemnation or being separated from God forever, and those six are all found in John's Gospel.
Wow. Okay, well, let's look at 2 Peter 3:6 as an example of the word perish, and it doesn't mean going to hell, it means something else. 2 Peter 3:6 reads this, "By which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." Now he's talking about the time of Noah and the great flood, and the perishing there obviously means they were all drowned by the water.
Exactly. And he talks about the fact that eight people were saved through the water. Well, the salvation there is not salvation from hell, and the perishing was not going to the lake of fire or going to Hades or Sheol. The perishing referred to the people who died in the flood. By the way, by my count, 32 of the 92 New Testament uses of apolemi refer to physical death. This would be one example, a very simple example.
All right, here's another example. The disciples are on a boat, and Jesus is there with them, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. I'm reading from Matthew 8, verses 24, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." Well, they're not worried about going to hell at that moment. They're worried about, again, drowning in this storm.
Yeah, here's an example of saved and lost in the same verse. The salvation they're calling for, "Lord, save us," is from death. And the perishing, "we are perishing," means we're dying here. We're about to drown.
Right. So when you're reading the Bible, you need to pay attention to these kind of contexts so you don't take a verse out of context. You need to ask yourself, what kind of salvation is being spoken of here? There's more than one kind. It's not all going to heaven when you die. A lot of it is just salvation of your physical life from physical dangers. And you need to ask yourself, likewise, what kind of perishing is here? Is this really going to hell, or is this just physical perishing? Those are the types of questions you need to ask yourself as you study the Bible.
That's exactly right. And so the first and main use of the word lost or perishing refers to physical death. But there is a second use, and that refers to temporal destruction or temporal loss. And it is a very common one, with 21 out of the 92 New Testament uses falling in this category.
All right. So, for example, in John 6:12, after feeding the 5,000 men and their families, so maybe 15 to 20,000 people, with a few fish and loaves, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Now, is Jesus worried that the bread would go to hell at that point? But as a good Baptist, that's what I see. It says lost. That always means going to hell, right?
That's the word apolemi, and it would mean that nothing is wasted. Nothing is squandered, nothing is destroyed that could have been useful.
Well, how about this one, Matthew 9:17, and it says, "Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined."
Ruined, basically, that's the word apolemi. It means they're destroyed, broken. They're no longer useful. And so the point is, this has nothing to do with eternal condemnation. Now, of course, people are wondering, well, why are you going through all these examples? These are obvious. Well, because there are lots of passages that aren't so obvious, and you need to establish the basic understanding before you go to a passage like we'll look at 2 Peter 3:9. That one, it seems to me, is obvious if you understand what apolemy means, but it's not so obvious if you think perishing always refers to eternal condemnation.
So, a fairly common, but another terribly misunderstood use of apolemy in the New Testament is when it's translated as lost or losing. So like we've been saying, sometimes we speak about lost people as unregenerate people, but that's not true. Someone who is lost in the New Testament does not automatically mean that they aren't a believer. In fact, a believer can be lost, can't they?
Right. For example, Jesus says in Matthew 16:25, "Whoever desires to save his life," that's the Greek word psuche, "will lose it." That's the word apolemi. He will lose his life. "But whoever loses his life," that's apolemi again, "for my sake, will find it." And so what he's talking about here is gaining or losing your life. And he's basically saying is, look, if you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, Matthew 16:24, you will gain your life. That is, you will have fullness of life. However, if you do not, if you live for self as a believer, well, then you will lose your life. That is, you will lose the fullness of life you could have had, and you will be on the path that leads to premature death as well.
Here's another example of that, Luke 17:33. He says, starting in verse 32, let's say, "Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it."
Right. It's the same thing. The idea that the saving of your life, if you're seeking to cling to your life, you're going to lose it. So the person who is self-seeking, the believer who is self-seeking, is the believer who is not going to receive the fullness of life that we all want. But, however, if you lose your life for Christ's sake, then you will keep it. And so we need to be laying down our lives, right? Denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following. I mean, this is a theme not only in the teaching of the Lord Jesus, but it's found all through the New Testament.
Well, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three parables: the parable of the lost sheep, parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son, or sons, plural. A lot of times, these are interpreted as evangelistic passages. It's like the sheep that's lost is an unbeliever. The coin that's lost is an unbeliever. The prodigal son is an unbeliever. Because you think to yourself, lost means this person's going to hell. But when you realize that that's not how the Bible uses lost in the majority of cases, these parables take on a new and, I think, clearer meaning.
Absolutely. I remember when I went to Dallas Seminary, I thought all three of these parables were talking about unbelievers. And it wasn't until I had studied them and had received teaching on them that it cleared up. For example, we're told in the parable of the lost sheep that a man has 100 sheep in his sheepfold. All 100 are in the sheepfold. One of them strays off and becomes lost. Then the shepherd goes, finds it, and brings it back. And now it's back in the fold. It didn't become one of the sheep in the fold because it was brought back. It was one of the sheep in the fold before it left.
Now, did you hear that? It was already a sheep. It didn't become a sheep. It was already... Now, who are already sheep?
Yeah, believers,
right?
In Jesus Christ.
Believers. So this is about a believer who backslides.
And the same thing with the lost coin. It was part of probably a bracelet with 10 coins on it. One of the 10 is lost. When it's found, it gets back to where it was before. Both the first two parables illustrate fellowship with God, getting back in fellowship. And the third one, with the prodigal sons, or the sometimes it's called the lost son, when the younger son takes his inheritance and goes off to the far country and squanders his inheritance, it's not that he becomes a son by coming back.
He was already a son.
He returns to fellowship with the father. In fact, the father says, "My son who is dead is alive again." That refers to having fellowship with the father.
Right. And maybe we should say something about that. These are fellowship ideas. Fellowship is like a sanctification idea. It applies to your life in Christ. It doesn't apply to the condition to be born again. This is something that describes your ongoing relationship with Christ as you grow to spiritual maturity. All Christians are called to be in fellowship with God, but we don't always do that. We often fall out of fellowship if we rebel against Him.
And that can be called loss. Now, one thing I'm noticing, Sean, is we're getting to the end of the show and we still haven't talked about passages that do talk about lost or perishing as referring to eternal condemnation, nor have we hit 2 Peter 3:9. Could we maybe do that in the next show?
Yeah, let's do that in another show. And if you're interested in reading more about this word or any other of the 10 most misunderstood words, Bob has a whole book on this. It's called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. It's one of our most popular books. You should get it at faithalone.org or at amazon.com. And through it, you will become a better Bible student.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, for explaining how this word is used in all these various contexts. And as mentioned, we'll continue with part two of this discussion when we reconvene on Grace in Focus. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Next time, we'll have one more discussion on the misunderstood word, lost. I'm Lucas Kitchen. Let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.